Hello and good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Fan Experience TV. I like the little drum roll there, right? It's that music, man.
That's what it is, man.
I definitely bang on the table over here when that thing is going on. But anyway, episode 89 is upon us. We're just 11 episodes away from that 100 mark. For those of you joining us for the first time, my name is Mike Kados. And alongside me is my co-host, Rick Molina. Rick, how was your weekend?
Weekend was good. Hitting the books, watching some TV, some NBA basketball. The Brooklyn Nets are on the brink. The Yankees are collapsing. DeGrom is the NL MVP and Cy Young winner before the season is even over. And Jets minicamp is starting in a couple of days, tomorrow. So a lot going on here in the Tri-State, but I think we got to get started with your Jacob deGrom and the beloved Mets. I mean, the guy is basically unhittable. I mean, I don't know how you hit him. I really don't. Like, that is an L. I mean, that's an L for another team right there, man. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts on that, but it's just incredible what he's doing.
It's a spectacle to watch.
I've never seen anything like it. It's crazy.
Everybody, the entire baseball fan community, everybody wants to see what he's doing.
Yeah, it's an event.
Like, this is... It is. It's an event. And I think that is Nithin saying what's up. Nithin. And the NR Hour is now on Spotify, Deezer, Podchaser, Podcast Addict. You keep up the great work as well. Anyway, so, yeah, I mean, DeGrom is just, is there no perfect nickname? The Grominator?
What else are you going to call him? Man?
What else are you going to call him?
The guy is incredible, man.
It's 0.56 ERA through 10 starts. Lowest in Major League Baseball history all time in 10 starts. Granted, his innings count is probably different than those other ones that he's being compared to, but fact of the matter is 10 starts and a 0.56 ERA. He's given up 4 runs this season. He's driven in 5. All right? So, like...
Yes, I saw the other day he got in the batting a single,
The dude's got an 800 OPS. He's got a 400 batting average. I mean, he had that right flexor tendonitis, pulled himself out of the game. People were talking no-hitter for a little bit. Will Myers got a hit, and then it really just... And he gave the Mets a 3-0 lead with the help of his own 2-run single.
Yeah.
And then immediately, Miguel Castro, granted, he had a stiff neck. He gave up 2 runs right away. But how he made Jacob deGrom made Tatis look silly in that first in the, I don't know if it was the first or the second inning. It was the first inning.
Yeah.
But he pulls the string and throws the slider, and it just like, Tatis almost fell out of his shoes. Like, he almost lost his balance on that swing. And it was just – it's just amazing to just witness what he is doing. And this bench mob and the replace Mets doing what they're doing. They won 5 out of 7 games in a 10-day span against the Padres.
Yeah.
And that's impressive.
That is. And listen, the Mets are coming into their own. Unlike the Yankees, who are like the wheels are falling off the car. It fell off over a highway. I mean, the Yankees are in complete disarray. But you're right, man. What the Mets are doing is incredible. It's amazing, right? DeGrom, basically, his earned run average, it's 0.56, but they're not scoring runs. Like, a run is one, right? Like,
he's 6-2. He should easily be – I mean, he started 10. He's 10 starts in.
He should be 8-9.
He's 6-2. He should at the very least be 8-0. Yeah. Those 2 losses, he's given up 4 runs. So how many runs could he have possibly given up in those 2 losses? 2-2, 1-3. Yeah. And the fact of the matter is they're not getting the run support.
Yeah. But here's the thing, he might win NL MVP, Cy Young, and he's gonna win 20 games. He will be the first pitcher to win 20 games in how long? 10, 20
games? Yeah, but that part remains to be seen because he can't win all those games by himself.
No, I get it. But look, it's June 14th. You're telling me how many more starts does he have in the season? He's already started 10. He's got another 20 starts. He doesn't get another 13 wins? 14 wins?
I think if everybody on the team does what they're supposed to do, then yes. But Jacob deGrom cannot win the game with his arm and his bat every single time he wants to get a win.
Well,
let's just put it that way.
No,
he's not Shohei Ohtani. He's great with a bat, but he's not the one that has to be counted on to provide the offensive firepower.
Look,
let's just say that.
I think he's going to get the 20. I think it's June 14th right now. He's probably got another 20. If he's had 10 starts, usually what do they do, about 30, 35 starts?
Yes. No, he's definitely going to get another.
I think he's going to win 20. He's going to get 20, another 20 starts minimum. I think he gets the 20. I really do. I think he gets 20
more starts.
I think he's going to dominate the NL. He's going to win the MVP, the Cy Young. Incredible. Meanwhile, on the other side of the town, the New York Yankees, like I said, the van has fallen off the highway. There are no wheels on the van. The brake pads on the side of the road. There's a fender down in a ditch somewhere. And it is just ugly. They can't win. There's no life in this team. They can't hit. Severino just got hurt. I mean, a change has to be made. A drastic change has to be made. And I think they need to – God bless Aaron Boone, 2003, game 7 home run. Great. But it's just been a disaster from here. And I think that the Yankees need to just cut bait and get a new manager and get rid of Aaron Boone.
Well, so there's some rumblings about the fact that A.J. Hinch and Hintz –
A.J. Hinch? I don't want A.J. Hinch. He's a cheater.
And
I don't want a
Alex
cheater.
Cora are back in the MLB, and they're coaching.
Yeah.
So why don't the Yankees fire Boone and hire Carlos Beltran?
No, I don't want Beltran. No.
He's a cheater or because of another reason?
No, because with this I see Carlos Beltran as an Aaron Boone, a guy who knows the game, but the analytics drives it too much. What the Yankees need is an old-school kind of guy to drop the hammer in that locker room, get some accountability in that locker room. They need a Buck Showalter to get in there. I mean, you've obviously heard the rumors about Buck Showalter. They need Buck Showalter to get in there, sort of batten down a hatchet, say this is the way it's going to get done and get
you
done.
Don't bring in Buck Showalter midseason. That's just not a guy you bring in midseason. At this point,
well,
career, come on.
I get it, but I disagree. I think you do bring in a guy like that this season because the shakeup has to be that serious. It's just that bad right now.
I understand that part of it.
Yeah.
But talk about the Buck Showalter part of it. Is he going to sign on to a team midway through a season? And listen, granted, it's the Yankees.
It's the New York Yankees.
I understand that.
And Buck wants to manage. Look at La Russa. La Russa 76, he's out there. Buck's got the itch. He wants to manage. He'll get in there, and I think he'll just shake it up. But the Yankees need life right now is what they need. And a left-handed bat. But besides that, they need life. They need life.
I understand where you're coming from, but I just don't – I feel like it diminishes his – Buck Showalter's name. It's like, oh, he's going to come in as this interim
– No, I think he's going to come in as the savior. But here's the thing. I think if Cashman does that, I think it'll be an indictment on Cashman for hiring Boone to begin with. I mean, everybody loved Girardi, and they got rid of Girardi because he was dropping the hammer like on Sanchez and all those guys, and they want a more player-friendly coach. And, yeah, they got into a division series and got knocked out. They got knocked out last year. So, Yankees got to make a decision in the next 10 days to 2 weeks here, and that's the guy you got to get in there.
Whatever's going to happen, it's not going to happen until – close to or after the All-Star break. That's my take on it. Yeah.
Another month, man. I don't know if you can afford it. Yeah.
I know. But, well, we'll see. But we can continue this conversation after bringing on our next guest. Right now, welcome Brandon Pate from Brandon Sports Talk to the program. Brandon, how are you?
I'm doing good.
What's up, Brandon? How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
It's on, man.
Yep, absolutely. So you said here, we got here, we asked you some questions prior to this show. You've been a Yankee fan since 2019. Talk us through that. And are you the reason that the Yankees fan just fell apart, or what's up?
Are you the Malloy?
No, so I've been a fan because my sister's ex-boyfriend, he was a fan, and then I became a fan from him. Like, because we grew close and stuff. And then, obviously, I kept track of the Yankees before him. But, like, I wasn't like, oh, I got to watch this. And I'm still not like, I got to watch this game. I got to watch this game. It's just
nobody wants to watch these games right now.
Yeah.
So you're not alone.
I love the colors and stuff. And also, I do have favorite players like Gerrit Cole. Like, I do have a Gerrit Cole jersey that you all see, like, whenever I do episodes and stuff. And it's one of my favorite jerseys so far.
All right, all right. So prior to that, did you watch baseball?
Yes, I did watch baseball, but it wasn't like, oh, this is my team. This is not my team. It was like there was a few teams I was watching. For example, like the Atlanta Braves, I have watched them. The former Cleveland Indians, have seen them, of course. But like it wasn't – and I never got into MLB until, of course, the podcast. That's whenever I started being like, okay, I got to keep track of at least some of MLB, because if you listen to my podcast, I do talk time or two of about MLB, but I don't go like, oh, this is what today's big news is at MLB. It's more, my podcast is more like fun topics like should or should not. Like they might, for example, popular one is jersey swapping. I talk about they should always do jersey swapping. So like, for example, Gerrit Cole or Aaron Judge, let's say they two were not on the same team, you get to swap jerseys and have that friendship of, oh, I got your jersey, you're a great player.
Yeah, I liked yesterday you got Gerrit Cole and Andrew McCutchen's kids sitting next to each other watching the game. I saw on social media. That was cool. They were both wearing their dad's jerseys. Rick, you could take the next.
Yeah, I'm curious about this one. You're a UNC North Carolina Tar Heels fan. And also an NC State fan. Now, this show, you can't be for both. You're either one or the other. Mike has a tendency of doing that. So where do you lean more? Are you a Tar Heels guy or an NC State guy?
When it comes to college basketball, I am obviously a UNC Tar Heels person. Because obviously, we all know Roy Williams, legendary coach.
Okay.
But when it comes to football, in the past, I have been more NC State, and I still am more NC State because Carolina, they're just getting now into their, like, what I call their good seasons with Mac Brown as the coach. So if that answers your question.
Got it. And as far as the Tar Heel basketball goes, for those of us up here in the Northeast who can never have an experience like the Duke-NC rivalry, what's it like, Tobacco Road and all that, tell us what that experience is like. Have you ever been to any games in, like, Cameron or in Chapel Hill?
I can tell you that I have not been to a Cameron game in Cameron, or I haven't seen Carolina and Duke. That is on my top bucket list, but I have been to numerous NC State games, but they do not compare to, obviously, your Carolina and Duke rivalry.
Got it. All right. My good.
Awesome. We got Matty Wolf chiming in here.
Brandon gets boy, Matty Wolf. There he is.
Yeah, well, I agree. You were one of them. And that was a great guest, and I was one of them, so I'll take it. Yeah. Hey, isn't it Wolfpack with two Fs? Come on. Get the name of your own show right, Matt. Come on. No, thanks for tuning in, Matt. So, yeah, North Carolina. Two people from North Carolina in back-to-back weeks. Our boy Keegan Brown over there?
Yes, I was actually supposed to interview him today, but something came up where I'm interviewing him tomorrow.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, well, it was a lot of fun having him on, and then obviously we wish him the best of luck. I mean, 14 years old, just going for it all. So talk to us a little bit about, there was news recently with Le'Veon Bell, and I see you're a Steelers fan. So talk to us a little bit about your Steelers and also your thoughts on this Le'Veon Bell. He doesn't want to play for Andy Reid, and he goes out publicly says it. And then he goes and apologizes because he knows he won't get signed by any team for pretty much calling out one of the more accomplished coaches in the league and saying he would never play for him again.
So, obviously, I'm a big Steelers fan. I have always been a Steelers fan since day one because my dad, he was a Steelers fan, and obviously I was born into there. Where I have gone way before my podcast ever got started, I did go to Heinz Field, and it was actually when Le'Veon Bell was there, I went to a game, and I want to go back because if you've seen my podcast, I have this series called Fun Facts, Stadium Fun Facts, and I would love to film. My dream is to film a video in Pittsburgh in Heinz Field, but with the Le'Veon Bell situation, for me, it's up to him. I'm not going to say, oh, he shouldn't play or he shouldn't, because all players, like, there are stuff that y'all don't know behind the scenes that happens. So obviously something might have happened where, like, obviously Andy Reid is like a wonderful coach, but some people have different, like, chemistries. But I do wish Le'Veon Bell the best of luck. I would love to see him come back as a Steelers, but I don't see that happening. Really, possibly it could, because if you remember in the Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown situation, it wasn't really Le'Veon Bell's fault that he left. It was more Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell kind of like were both there, but Le'Veon Bell didn't do as much, like, trouble-wise, and he was a good player. So I do see, of course, maybe possibly the Steelers offering him something back, but that's up to him if he takes it.
That's interesting.
It's an interesting take, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think
– I don't see Le'Veon going back there either myself.
I don't think Tomlin – I do, however, see maybe a Jets reunion.
I don't see that at all.
Because it's a different coach, man. Nope. I mean –
Nope.
I don't know. I think that could happen. Do I want it to happen? Not really. I think it's not out of the question. So we also have here Golden State Warriors fan. So it was tough to see them get knocked out, but are you a little relieved that LeBron and the Lakers got knocked out?
Not as much, because I did want LeBron to – surprisingly, yeah. I did want LeBron to actually go a little farther, but – with how Phoenix Suns is and how Milwaukee Bucks are doing, I think they have a great shot of making it closer, because obviously we all know if LeBron's in it, more than likely LeBron's, whatever team LeBron is, in this case with the Lakers, they were going to win if it wasn't due to injuries.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, obviously that definitely derailed them a little bit, but I mean, there was other people, especially a former Tar Heel that you probably know his name. You might be a little young to remember him in his heyday, but Michael Jordan, he played with food poisoning. I guess it was found out through The Last Dance, and
yeah,
y'all often injured, and Kobe Bryant injured and still played through it. So I don't know. I mean, but the Nets are dealing with that right now. And they need a superstar-filled roster just to get through and advance these playoffs. And now they're down to just really just Durant. And maybe Harden's like up in the air. But you like the Bucks to keep it going and advancing into finals?
I really do see this year being, of course, Giannis' year.
I mean, he is an amazing player, for sure. So you like the Golden State Warriors with really in Steph Curry's heyday. So that's really what drew you to the team?
Yes, it was whenever they were winning, of course. And I do have other teams that I do watch, not just Golden State. I do watch, since I am from in the Charlotte area, I do watch, of course, the Hornets. But we all know they're getting it not good, where they're just working up to good now.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're a bandwagon fan? No, you can't be a bandwagon fan and a Yankee fan.
No.
Oh, they are so far off the bandwagon. As Rick explained, their wagon is kind of like the wagon you would take on the Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
Their
wagon's in a ditch somewhere.
Yeah. They have typhoid fever or whatever they get. Give you an Oregon Trail.
So Rick. Brandon, I wanted to get into your podcast. Tell our viewers when you thought about what led you to start your podcast? I mean, what were the moments leading up to when you said, you know what, I want to start this podcast?
So I actually started it as a sports videography podcast, where like I was going to like local high school games, and it happened in December 6th of 2019. I was at a game. I was covering a game for another podcast that I know is called WJG Sports out here, where I was doing them. And their video, I filmed a video for them, and it got featured. And I was like, okay, if my work can, like, obviously get on YouTube and people like it, obviously let me just do my own.
Oh, absolutely, so then
that's what I did. I was doing like sports videography and interviewing like your local players and your coaches after the game. And then obviously in whenever the pandemic happened, I was like, okay, I had it to pivot because I was like, I don't know when sports is going to come back. Obviously sports are back now. I haven't been to many games just because of the way my schedule is right now.
Yeah.
I haven't been to many games, but then I was like, okay, with being in the pandemic, I was like, let me go into the college athletic side. So interviewing coaches, interviewing people working in college athletics that not many people knew about. Like, for example, I just got into interviewing people in the trademark and licensing, learning because I'm interested in that. Because if NCAA rules state that right now players can make money off of their name, image, and likeness, but formerly they can't. So I'm like, okay, why can they not sell jerseys with their name on the back? Like, for example, you see I have some Carolina jerseys. I have Michael Jordan, Tyler Hansbrough, and Ryan Switzer jerseys.
Okay.
All of the jerseys besides Michael Jordan came from Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
No, all of the jerseys came from other websites besides the Michael Jordan one, because the Michael Jordan one came from UNC. So I was like, okay, why is that? And then obviously after interviewing people, I learned that it's due to famous people obviously get jerseys, but then also you can't profit your name, money off of your name.
Right.
And then that's what happened. So then I interviewed other people like working in professional sports after I got a lot of people like college coaches. I was like, okay, let me tap into this market of people in professional sports. So like your PA announcers, your people working in professional sports that all people love. So then that's how I get that. And then obviously now I've done a lot of interviews and stuff over the time.
That's incredible. And who are the people you, I know you knew some of the people, tell our viewers some of the people you had a chance to interview in these last couple of years during your podcast.
So starting off, I've interviewed Denny Lennon. Sports Stories with Denny Lennon, have become great friends with him. I've interviewed Pat Weber, the voice of the Predators. Oh. I interviewed the Carolina Hurricanes, Wayne Minister. I've interviewed Michael Benintendi from the Miami Heat, the Mets, New York Mets, Colin Koss, two GMs in the NWHL from Buffalo Buttes. I've interviewed Nate Oliver and then Kalen Pitch from the Boston Pride. I've interviewed the Golden State Warriors PA announcer Matt Pittman.
Wow.
That one was a good interview. The co-founder of Orlando Magic, Pat Williams. Amazing interview. The LA Rams PA voice, Sam Lugano. I've interviewed some players like Jeff Fryer, former player, current players like Taylor Kersey, Hunter Kersey, Kaylee Fracken, Maggie Legue, Madison Parker, Taylor Rinkowski, Lindsey Eastwood. I've interviewed people like Richmond Weber. If y'all remember Miami Dolphins, you probably were around whenever he was in his
prime. What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say, huh?
He is also. And I've also interviewed like the former Houston Texans president, Jamie Rutman.
Awesome. Over here calling us old.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're old enough to remember when the Yankees won a World Series.
Here we go.
Dude, come on. The Mets haven't won since 86.
That's okay. All right. The van is off the road. Yeah, we have no steering wheel, and
so Brandon, tell us, how do you get in touch with all of these people that you're having on your show? And I know we were talking a little bit backstage about like how your view of LinkedIn has changed significantly since really starting this and understanding the power that LinkedIn actually provides. So talk to us a little bit about that.
So when it comes to college people, I go straight from their emails, like on.
Nope.
I think he froze.
Okay. Brandon, you there?
Yeah.
You're there, but Brandon is.
Yeah. No, we're good.
Brandon, you there? Okay.
For a second.
And technical difficulties, everybody.
This happens
when you're on live TV.
Yeah. That's the beauty of and the curse of being live, right?
Yeah. Meanwhile, we have the Sixers and the Hawks. The Sixers were up like 14. The Hawks are down 2 now. So.
All right. He's back.
There he is.
There we go. All right. We got you back.
There we go, Brandon. Got you back.
So whenever it comes to college coaches and people in college athletics, I go straight from their staff directory. Like, I will spend countless hours picking different schools. Like, I don't pick normally North Carolina schools, but I did start whenever I was starting getting into the industry. That's how I did it. But I would go through and I would be like, okay, this coach, she seems like she has an interesting story based on where she's gone. Or, like, some people have interesting stories if they've been in one place for, like, maybe 10 years or 5 years. So they'll pick them. And then whenever it comes to the professional people like Pat Williams and stuff like that, I go straight from LinkedIn. And I've learned from LinkedIn that when you message them, if they see it, more than likely they might not respond. You give them time, or if you respond, send them another message. Even though they saw it, they probably didn't see it. So then it's always good to, like, a few days later be like, hey, just checking in, see if you got this. And then whenever it came to professional players, I went strictly from Instagram. Majority of the people I've got from that are professional players, I went straight from their Instagram. Like Taylor Kirstie, she did come from LinkedIn, but everybody else pretty much came from Instagram. And then obviously Jamie Ruin, he came from LinkedIn just like everybody else. And with Marquise Williams and Landon Turner, I knew them personally, so I messaged them on Instagram.
Awesome. Yeah, we need to do a little bit more Instagram.
Yeah.
For the most part, I love LinkedIn. I mean, we get a ton of great guests from LinkedIn, but we definitely need to tap into that Instagram DM market and stuff of that nature. But LinkedIn is just amazing. I was just looking the other day, like my Facebook, I got like a fraction of the amount of friends on Facebook, but I never really use it. But yeah. And LinkedIn is so much more than Facebook because it's just crazy. And you get to see great content and connect with people like yourself, like our good friend Matty Wolf backstage. Thank you very much for the compliment on the shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Matching shirts today.
Yeah. Just hit me up. We'll order you one in the next order. And Matt's also saying he's going to come to New York on the 24th next week to see the Royals play.
All right.
So, Matt, I expect a phone call. And actually, I think I owed you a phone call yesterday, so I apologize for that.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Yeah. Now I'm just remembering that. So
yeah.
I apologize. We'll connect soon. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it's just amazing how open many people are to coming on to these shows and just talking about sports. And that's really the reason we started this, just to talk about sports with people in and around the sports industry, and it's been an absolute blast. Now we're 89 episodes into it. We had 80 something guests, and it's amazing. So how do you approach them on like Instagram? Like, how do you start it?
So with Instagram, how I go with professional athletes, I just saw a basic message was like, hey, how are you doing? My name is Brandon Pate. Would be interested in learning, for example, with, let's say, Taylor Kirstie. Would be interested in learning about your playing experience with the Buffalo Buttes. And then obviously, whenever, if you don't have professional people that you've already interviewed, try to say some people that you've interviewed that people may know. Like, for example, whenever I got Taylor Kirstie, she was the first professional player I actually got. So I was like, here are some professional people in the industry that I've interviewed. And then I'll always send your link to them, so they can check it out on their own. But then after you interview like maybe a handful of professional athletes, more than likely the professional athletes that you've already interviewed knows other professional athletes. So always mention their name in it, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, I know Taylor Kersey, for example. I know Hunter. Let me come on your show. Let me share my story. And then that's the snowball effect happens where, like, you don't have to, like, be like, okay, do you want to come on, harass them? They'll be like, okay, yeah, I want to come on because Taylor Kersey came on, Hunter Kersey came on. I know those people. Kaylee Fracken came on. I know her. And then, obviously, after a time, that's how I got so many professional people.
Nice. And awesome. Who, I want to ask, so who's the one big name that you want to interview that you haven't had a chance, you haven't gotten yet?
I would love to interview, obviously, Garrett Cole. Would love to interview him. Would love to interview Tyler Hansborough. Was this close of interviewing him. I'm still in contact with him, but his manager was not a great time. And there's other people like that have said, oh, let me go back to June, July. Message me in there, and then maybe we'll work it something out.
Why Tyler Hansborough? What is it about him? I mean, he had obviously a great career at UNC, flamed out a little bit in the pros, but what is it about Tyler Hansborough that's caught your eye?
Because that's the one player, like how y'all know Michael Jordan from the all time of, oh, he's Michael Jordan from Carolina. Yeah. I know Tyler Hansborough as that's the player, like, I used to go watch games. I actually met his father way before my podcast was ever a thought.
Okay.
I actually met his father whenever I was like maybe five or so. Yeah. I met his father in the Carolina Basketball Museum, and I've always had, and I actually used to have his jersey, but then of course I get big over time. So I was like, and I don't even know where that original jersey's at. So that's why I bought a few months ago, I bought the Tyler Hansborough jersey so I can still have that for the podcast.
Don't worry. We've all gotten big over COVID, man. Don't worry about
it. Yeah. Well, he's talking about from when he was five until now. Like, yes. That is to be expected for sure. But you went out, you got a new one. So all is well there.
Yeah.
So you went, you went to your first Pittsburgh Steelers game in 2018 with your dad. Did your dad get you hooked on the Steelers?
Yes, he got me hooked on the Steelers, and it was actually a Christmas present that he gave me to go with him to the Steelers game. That was the first like NFL game I ever went to. Obviously, I saw NFL games like on TV all the time, but like watching it like live, that was the first game I watched live.
Wow. Okay. So talk to us a little bit about that. Like, this is Fan Experience TV, and it's all about the fan experience. So like what were you soaking in, the atmosphere? Talk to us about what's going through your mind when you're seeing this first live football game, because football games can get pretty crazy. So talk to us about that.
I can tell you it was like in December, so it was extremely cold. Like, that is the coldest I have ever been in my whole entire life. Like, you got to think, I've been to Maine. Like, I've been to Maine. Maine was a breeze because I went kind of during the summertime.
Really? Oh, okay. You went in the summer.
For the summer, yeah.
Yeah, it's a different story, yeah.
So it wasn't, like, that cold, but I was wearing at least three layers of clothes and, like, a big, like, the, like, jumpsuits kind of. Mm-hmm. Still cold. I had those like hand warmers in.
Yeah.
I made the stupid mistake of, as soon as I got like outside, opening it up instead of saving it till I got to like the stadium. And then maybe like during halftime, those things were like gone. I was like, bro, I'm cold. But it was a great time because I did get to see players like Lavonne Bell was still playing during that time with the Steelers.
Yeah. Did they win?
Yes, they actually did win because whenever we bought the tickets, we bought them at midnight. So we weren't on the Steelers side. We were on the Baltimore side, and we were low. We had sat like really low, and it was the first time I've ever heard like people like obviously at games you hear people like booing for the other team, but I am going to tell you, like, they were like booing bad with the kicker. Like, I think his name was like Joe Flacken or something like that. They were like,
kicker or the quarterback? Joe Flacken. Wait, no. Lamar Jackson was quarterback in 2018. Yeah. Oh, wait, no. 2019 he started, right?
Yeah. No, 18. Yeah. Darnold got drafted in 18.
It was the kicker that they were like booing. He was like, you need to go home. Your mom's not proud of you. Wow. I was like, oh my God. Like,
are you at a were you at a rape at a Steelers game or at a Philadelphia game?
Oh, no, Baltimore. No, what's the kicker's name? The Steelers kicker or the
no, the Baltimore kicker.
Justin Tucker. Yeah, Justin Tucker's name is escaping me. Okay.
They were like booing him all. I was like, oh my God. But yeah, that was the first like time I experienced that, obviously, on the professional level.
So awesome. So who's coming up on your show? Tell our fans where they can find you, who's coming up on your show, you know, how can they watch, what segments, all that.
So you can find me only on YouTube. Okay. Obviously, you can also find me on Apple and stuff, but I'm not that like constant on Apple and Spotify.
Right. But you can
only find me on YouTube. And some of the people that are coming on is obviously Kalen, who y'all had on. He's coming on tomorrow.
Tegan.
His interview will probably be out tomorrow. There are, let's see, who are some other people? I have started leaning back on the people I put on just because it is the summertime. And I do have a big backlog of people.
Nice.
But there's a football player coming on tomorrow, a local coach coming on. There is a play-by-play announcer coming on this week from a minor league team.
Right.
There's a guy that wrote a book coming out Thursday on next Thursday, the former president of the Boston Pride, the team I've been interviewing for 3 months. She is coming on next Thursday. That will be out. And then right now, those are the only ones coming out because even in the month of July, I'm taking a lot of vacations, so I didn't put many people in July.
We're going to be taking a couple of weeks off as well. So we feel you. We're going on the grind nonstop. Yeah. And then sometimes you need that recharge time. So Brandon Sports Talk on YouTube. Look it up. Go and take a look at all of his past episodes. Some great guests, as he's already mentioned, and some great guests to follow. Brandon, thank you very much for coming on. It was a pleasure. Any last words?
Always subscribe. I'm close to 1K subscribers. Would love to hit that by the end of the year. I'm at 873 right now, so I would love to hit 1K. Because if everybody knows, after that 1K comes that money.
There you go. Make it rain.
Yeah, so go subscribe. All right, Brandon, have a wonderful night, and we'll be in touch.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
There you go.
Oh, man. All right.
It's all about the dollars.
All about the bennies. That's it.
Making it rain. We have a tight game in Atlanta, 89-88, as Atlanta has made a run here going into 3 minutes into the fourth quarter. So they're trying to get back to this thing in two.
Hey, Mr. Matt Wolf, we're grabbing a drink, man. So you're coming up here. You got to hit us up.
Oh, and Philly hits a three.
Yeah, so let's talk. We talked a little bit about the baseball and baseball teams in New York. We talked a little bit about the Nets. Let's talk about the New York Islanders.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into that a little bit.
Facing off against the Tampa Bay Lightning, who knocked them out last year in the playoffs. And the Islanders have taken game one against those Tampa Bay Lightning. 2-1 was the score last night. The Islanders are leading it 1-0. Won it in Tampa Bay. So a big win, statement win. They play again tomorrow night. Let's hope they can keep that momentum riding, and let's just see how far they could take it. I mean, remember, we had Kara on a couple of weeks ago talking about how the Islanders weren't going to make it past the first round. And they made it past the first. They made it past the second. And now they're going up against the Lightning won it last year, correct?
Yeah, the Lightning won it last year.
It was the Tampa Bay resurgence.
The year of Tampa Bay, right?
The Tampa Bay 2020.
With the Rays going
that was
to
too
the
much.
World
that
Series
was too much.
And the Bucks winning and the Lightning winning the Cup. But I got to tell you, man, this Islander run, there's some magic to it, man.
Some magic.
There's just something to it. There's a little magic to it. And they take it a 1-0 series lead. You don't want to get ahead of yourself here, but it's looking good right now.
You're already ahead of yourself.
Well, pretty much, yeah. Because but if the Islanders, if they can get a win tomorrow night, man, they are in great position, obviously, to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. And that would be great for the city. I think it'd be great for Long Island and the people out there in the Nassau Coliseum. I mean,
right across the street from the Nassau Coliseum.
There you go. Right there by the Starbucks over there.
I might have a hard time like driving in and out of work
for the next two weeks. But it would be, you know, it'd be great if they would be able to win the cup, right? And win the cup in that building for the last year of the building. I mean, that'd be something for the people of Long Island. Obviously, it'd be something for the city, but obviously the Islanders are off to a tremendous start here in the semifinals, what used to be called the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. But best of luck to them and keep on keeping on, Islanders. Yeah.
And the Rangers hired a new head coach, guy by the name of, let me get his name here, Gerard Gallant. I have no idea who he is. But he coached for the Vegas Golden Knights, so that's one.
The New York Metropolitans are leading 5-2 in the bottom of the seventh. But actually yesterday, the Mets were up and they kept Familia in too long and just loaded the bases and then ended up Tatis hitting a grand slam. It's just, I don't know. I don't know when this Familia experiment's going to end. But, you know, their bullpen has been pretty good. So I guess it's one little hiccup and they still won the series and the season series. So I guess you can't be too upset. But I don't know. Guy cost us a lot in that World Series. And I don't know. I can't really put it behind me. We don't get there very often.
You got to let go sometimes, man. You got to let go.
All right. Well, so then let go of the fact that your Yankees can't score a run. All right.
Okay. I'm rooting for a team midseason that's completely imploded. It's fallen apart. The plane has hit the mountain. I mean, it's that bad.
Yeah. And then you got Mets up 5-2 in the bottom of the seven.
Meanwhile, on football, just quickly, the Jets, Jameson Crowder took a pay cut to his final year contract. So, not sure what the terms are on that, but and this just in, Trevor Lawrence limited in training camp or mini camp with tightness in the hamstring. Here we go.
Tebow
time. Oh my God, what an embarrassment that would be. That'd be terrible. Yeah, I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening. But just he's already a little banged up. So it's gonna be interesting.
It's gonna be a tough one. Yeah, I mean, but it's still very early.
On a quick note in tennis, Novak
Djokovic. Tennis, that's a new one.
He just won the French Open yesterday, and that makes him – he is tied Rafael Nadal for Grand Slams as he's captured his 19th Grand Slam and one behind the great Roger Federer for 20. So congratulations to Novak. Great job.
Yeah, absolutely. There was something else in the football world, and it's escaping me right now.
Le'Veon's comments?
Yeah, we touched on it a little bit.
On that?
So,
yeah, that's crazy.
So, yeah, Le'Veon Bell said that he would rather retire than play for Andy Reid again.
Yeah, that's why he's going to plead retired. That's why he's not going to play again.
And, like, Andy Reid is one of the more experienced coaches. He's very successful, and I don't know. I mean, Le'Veon Bell didn't get his playing time there, but you know, there was a lot of people to feed over there in Kansas City, and this guy's joining in the middle of the year. Yeah. So what do you expect is going to happen? And you know, you have to learn a brand new playbook, and I'm sure his playbooks are a lot tougher to learn than
Adam Gase's.
Well, I mean, Adam Gase's playbooks are something completely different.
Yeah.
In other news, actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
Speaking of Le'Veon Bell, he was playing with Patrick Mahomes over there, and some call him Baby Goat. And the Madden 22 gave us a teaser trailer today that on June 17th, so this Thursday, there's going to be a reveal as to who the two featured athletes are going to be on this year's Madden 22. It's going to be two athletes, and the barn door is open, and you had two goats, one mama goat and one baby goat.
Wow.
Well, that's what it looked like. It was one smaller than the other. So there's a lot of chatter. So
I got a hunch, but I'll let you go first. I got a hunch.
Could it be Brady and Mahomes?
Good.
Or is it going to be Brady and Rob Gronkowski? Those are kind of the front runners of what we are playing with. There's also people saying Brady in a Patriot and a Bucks uniform. So what is – I tend to go more on the Brady Mahomes because I think that's cool, but at the same time, they've both been on it multiple times now. So it's like, and Gronkowski would do back-to-back years.
Right. So I don't think it's Gronk. I think it could be the Brady in both jerseys.
Very well done, Brandon.
Thanks for coming on. It could be Brady in the both jerseys. Don't ask me why I was thinking this. And I know they don't put coaches on there, but I thought Belichick and Brady.
All right.
I know
that's a valid theory. They don't. Well, no. See, they did put coaches on it because Madden was that coach,
yeah.
For how many years? And then they moved it over to athletes after Madden retired. Well, I guess a little bit before he did.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's his game. I mean, it's named after a coach.
Yes.
But I guess it remains to be seen. Like, obviously, if it's named after the coach, Madden has it can't be Belichick because they won't even put Belichick's name in the game itself. They say New England coach, like for 20 years now. 20 something years. Like, they don't even have Bill Belichick in the game. They just have New England coach. They don't even have the right hoodie on for him.
I thought it was a suggestion. I mean, I think it'd be pretty cool if they did Brady in New England, Brady in Tampa. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely would be cool. Well, we only have to wait 3 days.
Yeah,
Thursday night it comes out, and we will see who those two goats are. Or it could be just something that throwing us for a loop altogether. Maybe it's only going to be one person.
Yeah, we'll see.
Right.
And by the way, special happy birthday to RJ Barrett. Turns 21 today.
21 years old. Young, huh?
I think so. I think he's actually able to drink. Let me just look this up here real quick. Yeah, I think he turns 21 years old. Is it today's birthday? Today's his birthday. There we go. Happy birthday, RJ Barrett. It doesn't say how old he is. All right. Well, I don't know what to tell you, folks. I know it's his birthday. I just don't know how old the kid is. But I think he can have a beer. So, RJ, if you can have a beer, enjoy yourself.
Yeah, happy belated to the new Mets owner, Steve Cohen. Birthday over the weekend.
There we go. All right.
Well, Stevie, he was very excited during this series with the Padres and tweeting all over the place. Let's see. What do we got? Are we still 5-2 here? Yep, still 5-2. All right, so Mets versus Cubs. They got swept in Chicago, so the Mets definitely need to do something here against the Cubbies and hold their ground in first place of the NL East because the Yankees couldn't help us out at all. They let the Phillies just walk all over them.
Listen.
Thanks a lot, Rick.
Yeah. On that note, it's a great show.
Yeah, it was a great show, and we have another great show in store for you on Wednesday night. Until then, have a great night, everybody, and good luck to those Islanders and those Nets tomorrow night. So let's see where the Nets go. Let's see if Durant could to keep this team afloat.
By himself,
like the player he wants to be paid, like the contract that he's getting paid for.
Like the great players of all time.
Exactly. You got to carry that team no matter what, through thick and thin. Have a good night, everybody.
All right. Peace, everybody.